A lot of people make it real big by developing most of their potential in a foreign country, like Jimi Hendrix. Say that he was nothing when he was here. He went to England, and he got very big over there, and now he's big here. But I'd say it's easier to do it by making it in the United States first.
The beginnings of the Doors may be dated from between the so-called British invasion of North America in 1964, spearheaded by the Beatles, and the blossoming of the hippie subculture that was to climax with 1967's Summer of Love. During this period, countless Anglophile garage bands across the United States and Canada grew out their crew cuts as much as they dared and seized upon whatever aspect of the new limey idioms they felt most comfortable with. For the Byrds, for instance, it was the Searchers' fusion of Merseybeat and contemporary folk, while the Yardbirds outfitted the Count Five with the vestments of musical personality that propelled their psychotic reaction into the US Top 20 in 1966. By then, many groups on both sides of the Atlantic were beginning to think of themselves as more than vehicles of harmless entertainment. Taking their cue from the Beatles again, some were already becoming pseudo-mystics, whose songs required repeated listening to comprehend what might be veiled but oracular messages. Often, this reflected drug experience, notably LSD, which had been turning on a certain James Douglas Morrison for about a year before it was outlawed for recreational purposes in 1966. Born on the 8th of December 1943 in Melbourne, Florida, Jim Morrison was the son of a US Navy Rear Admiral, one of a long line of Irish-American military careerists. Jim endured rather than enjoyed the rigors of a private education before commencing a degree course in theater and film at Florida State University. In 1962, he transferred to the University of California. While very much part of the bohemian crowd, he distanced himself from the beatnik acquaintances on the campus by his taste in music. Rather than modern jazz, Jim's imagination was captured by the artistic potential within pop music, as surely as Don Quixote's was by the windmills of Castile. He came to be especially fond of the Beach Boys and the early Kinks, but sought to write lyrics that went beyond boy-girl relationships and other teenage preoccupations. Instead, he delved into metaphysical matters, inspired in part by his chemically induced glimpses of the eternal. In summer of 1965, Morrison bumped into 30-year-old Ray Manzarek, who he recognized vaguely as a mature student from college. The encounter might have been more casual had not the conversation turned to music. A gifted classical pianist, Ray's family had moved from Chicago to California, where the onset of puberty had found him and his brothers, Richard and James, listening just as hard to the blues as the future members of the Kinks, Rolling Stones, and other British acts who were to dominate his country's crowded airwaves. Record sessions had evolved into the Manzarek Boys formation of Rick and the Ravens, with Ray on keyboards, Rick on guitar, James on mouth organ, along with a constant turnover of other personnel. A record label of no great merit had just released a one-shot Rick and the Ravens single when Ray met Jim Morrison. Victims of connected artistic passions, the two became friends. One afternoon when they were relaxing on a beach beneath a sweep of the Hollywood Hills, Morrison recited the words of a recent composition, Moonlight Drive. Impressed, Manzarek invited the younger man along to a rehearsal with the group. Morrison gave a good enough account of himself to be recruited as lead singer. Next, the outfit enlisted a permanent drummer in John Densmore, a 21-year-old psychology graduate in the same meditation class as Jim and Ray. Though he'd been ticking over in the Psychedelic Rangers, a parochial beat group in uncertain transition, John's heart was in jazz, and he enjoyed a range of earthier sounds, resulting in a stage repertoire that covered a wide spectrum of blues forms, from Howling Wolf and John Lee Hooker to Bo Diddley and Lee Dorsey. Initially, Rick and the Ravens did not unveil any self-composed items in public. However, six songs attributed to Morrison were taped with the help of a hired bass player at Well Pacific Studios in September 1965. Of these, Summer's Almost Gone, Moonlight Drive, Break On Through, Hello I Love You, and End of the Night were to be re-recorded, while most of the lyrics of Go Insane were to be incorporated into Celebration of the Lizard in a future more golden than Densmore, Manzarek, and Morrison may have imagined then.